Hey guys, it's Allison Creamer here, and today's podcast is with James Walrod. I met James about, I guess it's been about a year or so when I moved on to the Finch team. You are really good friends with Brian Finch, and he asked us to give you a try. And so, James, thank you for coming in today and having this podcast. I think we were going to talk a little bit about how crazy the timing is with buying a house these days, right?
Yes.
So introduce yourself, tell a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go into the topic.
Okay. Thanks for having me, Allison. I am James Walrod with Union Mortgage Group. I've been doing residential mortgages for about 5 years. I've worked with a few companies. I've worked with First Horizon Home Loans as well as MetLife Home Loans, and I've been with Union Mortgage going on 2 years now. Really, really happy there. Happy with a local company, a regional bank, and so that's where I am. I'm a resident of Virginia Beach. I'm happily married with a 20-month-old son. So I'm.
Gosh, y'all count them in months now. Huh?
Yes.
When do you
yes.
start counting in years? When they hit two?
Yeah. Oh. When they hit two. So just a couple more months, and then they'll start being known in years.
Then he's a little man, not a little
exactly.
baby anymore.
That's
huh?
right. Exactly. So I'm on the. I'm a full-time loan officer and then on the full-time chase when I get home with the little man.
I have dogs.
Yeah. It's...
Well, so you've had how many years in the mortgage business?
5 years.
5 years, yep. Yeah. I can tell you, James, I have three lenders that I work with. You know this. I'm always very transparent
yes.
with it. But you are probably...
The best.
Thanks
for saying
you
that.
You are top-notch in my book. One thing that I can say, I know other real estate agents listen to this podcast as well as community, and I can say that James has never messed up one of my loans, and that right there is a biggie. And today's topic is really geared to even maybe some new real estate agents who might not know the process, because process has changed a lot. And then we also, I know that there are some people that listening that are just now getting into the real estate market and maybe getting frustrated with the timing. I mean, when I started in 2002, you could take about 21 to 30 days to get from start to finish. But a lot has changed. So why
Absolutely.
Don't you kind of run us through some of the ups and downs, and then go ahead and just identify the junk that everybody gets really frustrated with
sure.
and give your spin on what to expect.
Sure, absolutely. Timing is a big thing now with not just with your mortgage and with your mortgage process, but also I think with your contract process. We have a lot of unique property types out there that just really weren't as common in the last few years, and they've really become common in the last
unique,
the last few
unique.
Years.
That's
yes.
a good way to describe
yeah.
what's happening.
Yep.
Right now.
And some of those unique property types are some foreclosures, some bank-owned properties, and short sales as well. And each of these takes a lot longer to negotiate and to come up with that actual ratified contract than what yeah. it used to. It's a lot easier when you're dealing directly with a seller of a home who's got some equity, they're looking to make some money, sell that house and move on to the next one. And that
yeah.
was kind of the environment that we operated in for a few years, and we're just not there anymore.
Yeah, I've got a poor client. 2 years we've been trying to sell a house.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we've had an offer for 5 months, and I know the lender for the buyer is probably panicking because he
yeah.
wants to lock that rate.
Absolutely.
He wants to make sure they know what their house payment's going to be, and you can't do that.
That's
so
right.
as a lender, you're probably even feeling the pressure of the buyer screaming at you.
Absolutely.
What's my payment? What's my payment? So
right.
it's hard.
And I understand, you know, a lot of buyers, they've already gone through some difficult timing in just getting me that ratified contract. They've dealt with the short sale process. They've dealt with the bank, and they finally got that ratified contract, and
well,
they go.
Let's describe a ratified contract.
Sure.
Because that's a term that I think in our industry we use a lot. Maybe
yep.
if a new buyer is listening to this, they might not understand what that means.
Okay.
Ratified contract is the date in which all parties agreed to the terms of the contract. It doesn't necessarily mean that inspections or appraisals or anything like
Correct.
That is done. But the buyer and the seller have agreed that what the sales price and terms are going to be acceptable. Now, the uniqueness of this is if it's a short sale or a foreclosure, short sale, ratification is still now kind of held open because the bank is the third party approval.
Absolutely.
On that. So as a lender, you may have a ratified contract in the traditional form, but it's not really ratified because we can't move forward because we don't have an agreement from the bank accepting that third party.
That's right.
So there's another little glitch.
Exactly right. And as far as from a lender standpoint, I'm sitting at a red light until I get that ratified contract, because until we
and
have
that means from the bank, not
from the
buyer
bank.
And seller.
Correct. That means I need to know that all parties have agreed on a closing date. They've agreed on a sales price, closing cost assistance, and we are ready to really start moving forward with our loan process. So I'm sitting at a red light until you guys can say, here's that ratified contract.
So your phone is blowing up, waiting for that buyer is wanting to know
they
how
know.
Much is my payment,
that's
can
right.
I lock my interest rate.
They want to lock in, they want to get their appraisal order, they want to get moving, and that's just not something that we can do until we know exactly what it is that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
We've got some new legislation that's recently been passed that says we're not even supposed to provide a good faith estimate until we have several categories filled in, and one of those categories is property address. So there was a period of time where I could meet with a client, I could do a complete and full loan application, I could disclose everything to them that I was supposed to disclose, I could have their entire loan package sitting there waiting, and all they would have to do is say, hey James, we found the house, here's the contract, let's get moving. And I could say, great, I could use all the documents that we already had in the file to get moving forward. And that's not the case anymore. Like I said, I'm literally sitting at a red light until I know that I've got a property address, a closing date, a sales price, all of those things that only a ratified agreement can give me.
So let's talk about documentation. Before we started this, you were telling me about really trying to express to the buyer why you have to keep asking for more documents and more documents. And new agents that are listening to this, the one thing that you can help your lender with is educating that buyer and getting them to understand that every time 25 to 30 days passes, they're going to be asked for updated information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, there's also a few different folks that are involved with your loan process. The very first person you're going to come in contact with as far as a bank or a lender or a broker is going to be your loan officer. And that's what I do. I speak to clients all the time. I talk to them on weekends and nights when they're out there looking at houses. I really try to get a plan for them to help them understand what it is that they can afford monthly. Number one, they tell me what fits in their budget, and I tell them how much house they want to buy according to that. Of course, we get with their agent as well and say, this is their maximum range, this is how much closing costs they'd like to get. And normally, they try to fit that box. Inevitably, people will find houses that they like that are a little bit more expensive, a little bit more out of their range, and I'll analyze that with them as well. And if the house is worth to them a little bit more per month, then a lot of times they'll take that route, and that's fine. What happens is once we actually know exactly where we're at with that contract, I'm going to need to gather some initial documents. That's going to be pay stubs, W-2s, all the fun things that tell me that you have your job and you make the money that you say you make that's on your application.
There is no more stated stuff anymore.
There's no more stated income. There's no more telling me that you make $100,000 a year and I'm not going to verify it.
Yeah, you better prove it.
Yep, that's right. Everything's got to be proven. We have to take into consideration any kind of deductions you take on your taxes, things like that. So it's very important that I get good, clear documentation up front. And then my first meeting, I always gather those things.
You know, I like to tell my client, the buyer, when I do the consultation, I'm like, you know what? Going to the lender is like going to the doctor.
That's right.
You can tell them all your symptoms. You can tell them everything you want, but they're going to draw the blood.
That's right.
And they're going to check it.
We're going to do a test on it.
And you're going to do a test on it. So just
put
it out there. If you even think that there might be a glitch, just tell the lender up front.
That's
It'll solve a lot of problems.
Absolutely.
Up front. And a lot of times you have solutions.
Absolutely, we do.
For what they think is a problem.
That's right.
If you'd only known about it, you could have fixed it and then gotten to closing.
Exactly right. Or even better, you know, if there's a way that you can get the seller to pay off a certain debt in a lot of situations, or if we just need to adjust that sales price down just a little bit, you can still get out there and find the house that you want and have it fit into your particular situation.
So now we've got this ratified contract that took, we'll say 90 days.
Okay.
And so we've got another 45 days before we can go to closing.
Yes.
You're going to keep asking for more documents,
absolutely,
right?
And the reason is this. You're going to have your initial meeting with me, and I'm going to ask you for everything that I can think of that's going to help me to understand your situation. When you guys come in and sit down with me, we're going to go through those documents, and of course, that's going to bring up a few more questions. There's going to be payroll deductions, there's going to be deductions on your taxes, there's going to be deposits into your bank account, things that we don't know what question to ask until we have some of that upfront information. So what we do is we create our file based on that information that you've brought to me. We'll go through all the numbers, make you comfortable with that. We go through some other information so that you're happy and you're ready and you know exactly what's going to happen when closing comes. And then I'm going to give you the heads up that you're probably going to get one or two more phone calls from me with things that we're going to need. And here's the reason why. Once I package that file up, I'm going to give it to a loan processor who's in my office. And her job is to make that file as pretty as she can possibly make it so that when it gets to the hands of an underwriter, there's very little more questions that need to be asked. We're basically just checking off a checklist when it gets to the underwriter, rather than them saying, hey, I need to prove all of these other things and we're missing documentation. Because that's, once it gets to the underwriter, we're getting really close to our closing time.
So it's three people, pretty much.
Absolutely.
Really, you've got you.
There's three steps along the way, yep.
The processor.
Correct.
And then the underwriter.
And then you have an underwriter. That's absolutely right. And depending on what kind of loan you have, if you're doing it, some of the state programs with VHDA, a lot of times they'll have their own underwriter that wants to have some things verified as well. So there could even be a fourth party
involved.
So
there's a lot of, I mean, a couple years ago, I don't think there was this as much aggressive, but there's a fine tooth comb going through.
Yes.
And anytime time passes, somebody's going to want to see the most current information, and that is
you
why
got it.
You keep getting that. I need updated
I need an updated
this,
bank
need
statement.
Updated
you,
that.
You got it. You got it. What will happen is I'll get everything that I can up front, and we hope that that's everything that we'll need. But inevitably, there's going to be a few extra things that we need.
Yeah.
You're going to get your one list from me. Once it goes to the processor, she's going to go through that file as clearly as she can. She's going to put it in a really pretty order, and she's going to say, hey, we're missing a page of this bank statement, or hey, I found that there's this child support agreement that we need to get. Whatever it is, that the piece of documentation that comes up that she needs, she's going to come up with a new list. And the reason she's doing that is we don't want the underwriter coming up with that list. We want the underwriter on our side. We don't want to make the underwriter mad.
You don't want them to look for anything.
That's right.
You just want to make it easy.
We want it to get to the underwriter, and we want it to be easy for them. Like I said, we want it to just be them going through, going, yep, here's the things I need. They're all there. They're all in order. Great. This file's clear to close, and then everybody's life is happier.
Cool.
Yep. But so the processor's going to ask for a few extra things. And that file's going to go to underwriting, and once an underwriter gets their hands on it, then they're going to review it again. So that's why you kind of get, throughout this process, you get a couple of folks asking you along the way. And I understand that it can be frustrating once you get to that third person, that underwriter, and you're, you know, 7 days out from closing, and we'd say, hey, listen, I need that updated bank statement, or I need this large deposit verified.
Yep.
A lot of people kind of say, well, hey, you know, why didn't you ask me for that at first? And the reason is just because you just don't know.
Yeah. There's
three sets of eyes. That's right. And you know, my job in the upfront is to help you understand how much house you can afford, what you qualify for, and to get that initial process rolling with the paperwork, which I certainly do, and take great pride in, and take a lot of time to make sure that stuff's correct. But my job also is to make sure that the process is moving along and pushing forward. And I like to call it tipping the dominoes. You know, I can't get that file to the processor if I don't have all the things that I've already asked for. So I can't tip that first domino to get that stack rolling down to closing. That's right.
Cool.
And if the processor asks for something and it takes us 3 or 4 days to get that, we can't move it along to the underwriter. And then she can't look at it for a few days. So every day is precious. And we find that those days are very precious when we get to be a couple of days before closing.
Oh.
And we wish that we could have had some of those ones back in the very beginning that we lost.
Yeah. So agents, moral of the story, if you're listening to this podcast, have a great relationship with your lender.
Yes, love your lender.
Understand that they are not trying to destroy you.
Yes, we're trying to make it happen.
So, well, James, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Some people, most of us that do this every day kind of understand the process.
Sure.
But I forget that not everybody buys a house and sells a house every single day. And
yes.
So it's a good recap to remind everybody how many hands are in this transaction and why you keep getting asked, can I have this,
absolutely.
Can I have that?
So. And my point is not that the mortgage process is difficult. My point is just that we're all kind of a team working together on this thing. We've got our agent, we've got our loan officer, we've got our client, and we've got our closers as well. And we've all got to kind of work together to make this thing happen. In the end, you're going to get your house. You're going to love it. You're going to close. You're going to be happy.
You're going to refer lots of business back to everybody who
helped
you.
That's right. That's right. But just be patient and be ready to just be realistic with the timing of the whole transaction.
Cool. Well, guys, James's information is going to be in the show notes. We're going to have his contact information, his company, his address, his email, every way to get in touch with him. And if you have more questions about the process, I'm sure he'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Give me a call. Thanks so much.